is allowed to talk about this. There's not so many names. But Rashi comments at the beginning of the Sedra that after the Torah enumerates Esav's children very quickly, it goes through basically eight generations and eight psukim, then the Torah starts elaborating in great detail, in great length, about the Jewish children, the children of Yaakov and Yosef and so on and so forth. And the same thing Rashi says, we find in the ten generations from Adam to Noach, the Torah just lists all ten generations. It comes to Noach, the Torah spends time. Then the ten generations from Noach to Avram, the Torah goes through quickly. Comes Avram, the Torah starts talking at great length. So now the Torah is going back, now what they finished Esav, now the Torah is going to discuss at great length what happened to Yaakov and his children, and Yosef and his children, and so on. But the Pasuk says over here, Vayeshev Yaakov, Be'eretz Meguri Aviv, Yaakov dwelled in the land of his fathers, Be'eretz Canaan, in the land of Canaan. Rashi says, Shah breaks over. Okay, Rashi says, Vayeshev Yaakov, Yaakov already finally came to a peaceful time in his life, he thought. Vayeshev Yaakov, Rashi says in the Medrash, the famous Medrash, Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva. Yaakov already had enough tzaddis. 22 years, he's on the run from Esav. 22 years he had to deal with Lavan. He comes back to Lavan, Esav still wanted to kill him. He finally settled down, he came home. He wants to have a peaceful life. So God said to him, you want a peaceful life? No. In the next world, you have a peaceful life. In this world, forget it. And right away, when Yaakov finally had a little bit of peace of mind, what happens? Yosef comes into the picture, gets sold as a slave, and again, for another 22 years, he has tzaddis. So Hashem said, Rashi quotes the Pasuk, you want Bikesh Yaakov Leisha B'Shalva, you want to do it? It says, Rashi says over here, Amar LeHakadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to him, it's not enough you have Olam Haba, peaceful. You want this world also peaceful? Forget it. It's not going to happen.
Okay. What is this notion that in this world we shouldn't, like...
enjoy.
Harvest some of the work that he did. It's not like you have to have a suffer here in order to enjoy Olam Haba.
Nobody's saying suffering.
This
world, this world is a world of work. There's a very famous story that Siddhis elaborates on in the Gemara. Not a story, but Avraham and Zaka in his deathbed. His students came in to say goodbye to him, and they saw he was crying.
Who is this?
Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Famous Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. So he lived in the time of the destruction of the Second Temple. He was the leader of his generation. He was the teacher of Rabbi Akiva and all those people. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai on his deathbed was crying. So students gave him a few lines of titles, and they said to him, why are you crying? Are you afraid to die? I mean, you're such a tzaddik, you're going straight to Gan Eden. So Rabbi Yechon Zakkai said to them, I see two paths in front of me, one to Gan Eden and one to Gehenim, and I don't know where they're taking me. That's the quote of the Gemara. The obvious question is, Rabbi Yechon Zakkai, the Gemara says, was the Moshe Rabbeinu of his generation. He lived 120 years like Moshe Rabbeinu did. He learned Torah for 40 years, taught Torah for 40 years like Moshe Rabbeinu did. How in the world doesn't this person know that he's going to Gan Eden and he's not going to Gehenna? So the answer is very simple. The mashal given in Chassidus for this concept is a person has a store, a business, and the business is open from 9 to 5. From 9 to 5, you have to do business. You can't sit down between 9 and 5 and make a reckoning of how much money is coming in and how much money is going out. Because if you're busy making an accounting, you're not going to have time to do business. Right? Business hours, you do business. When the business, the store closes at 5, then you're able to make a reckoning of what came in for the day and what went out for the day. That's the normal way of running a business. You can make cheshbonos, reckonings, accounting, when the business is closed, not when the business hours are open. So Chassidus explains that Bechem and Zakkai had no time for accounting. Why? Because Rabbi Yechim and Zaki maintained this life is business hours. From the minute you're born until the minute you die is business hours. You don't have time to sit down and make a reckoning, did I do mitzvahs, didn't I do mitzvahs? Was I good, wasn't I do good? Because when you're sitting making all those reckoning and calculations, meanwhile you could be doing more mitzvahs. You spend an hour a day making a reckoning of what I did and what I didn't do, for that hour you're not doing any mitzvahs. So Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, his entire life, was working. Now he's finally on his deathbed. If not now, when? So now he had to sit down and start making reckonings of his life. The same thing is with the story of this world and Gan Eden. Hashem says, this world is the action world. This world is a world of doing. That's it. The Rebbe was against retirement because retirement means you're doing nothing. A Jew can never do nothing. You're older, you work less, you work less tedious jobs, whatever, but you have to work. This world is a time of work. Bliss, reward, retirement, that's in the world to come. So Hashem says, what?
It's Miami.
Very humid.
You didn't know he's a comedian?
So Hashem says to Tzadikim, what do you mean you want peace in this world? Peace is in the next world. This world, you got to work.
Work, it's okay, but why do you suffer? You can't work and be challenged by what you're doing. And
those were his challenges. The greater people have greater challenges. Yaakov Avinu is a very, very great man, so he had very, very great challenges.
But Yehuda the prince had a great life, was rich, did mitzvot, and
he had a lot of challenges. And he had a lot of challenges.
Okay, but it's not like what Jacob had already with Ravan.
Yaakov Avinu was greater than Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, obviously. Okay, so the Pasuk says, Vayeshev Yaakov, Yaakov wanted to rest in the land of Megure Aviv, in the dwelling places of his father. And the Baal Turim says that the numerical value of Megure Aviv is Chevron, which was the city where Yaakov Avinu lived at this time, in the land of Canaan. Okay, Ela told this Yaakov, these are the generations of Yaakov. What are the generations of Yaakov? Yosef ben 17 Shana, Yosef was 17 years old. But before we even go further in the Pasuk, the Medrash says, what does it mean Ela told this Yaakov? Simply, it's like a stop. These are the generations of Yaakov, Yosef. But we're putting Yaakov and Yosef together to tell us that whatever happened to Yaakov, happened to Yosef. Yaakov had problems with his brother, Yosef had problems with his brother. Yaakov was away from home for 22 years, Yosef was away from home for 22 years. There was jealousy on Yosef, there was jealousy on Yaakov. Whatever Yaakov learned, he taught to Yosef. In fact, that's one of the interpretations of Bnei Zikunim, Ben Zikunim. That means that whatever Yaakov Avinu learned, he automatically told to Yosef. And the explanation over here is, Yosef really is not the fourth patriarch. There's only three patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But Yosef, Chassidus explains, is the bridge that connects the three patriarchs with everybody else. And that's what the Pasuk says, tell this Yaakov Yosef, that Yosef is actually the bridge that connects the Avos of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to the rest of the single of all the Jews, and therefore, as the pasuk says, Noheg Katzein Yosef, the Jews are also called Yosef, just like they're called Bnei Yaakov and Bnei Yisrael. The Jewish nation is called in Tanakh Noheg Katzein Yosef, the sheep of Yosef,
because he fed all the brothers.
Because he fed the brothers, and not only that, the hashpa, the sustenance that came into the world of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov basically went through Yosef. The only difference is, to spend a few minutes to discuss the difference between Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and Yosef. Before we get into the Yosef's life now, there is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and there was Yosef. Yosef is called Yosef HaTzadik. If you ever read in Gemara, in Midrashim, it's always called Yosef HaTzadik. We don't find Avram HaTzadik, Yitzchak HaTzadik, Yaakov HaTzadik. We call him Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu. We don't find Reuven HaTzadik, Shimon HaTzadik, Levi HaTzadik.
Who else called Tzadik in Chumash?
Just basically, Yosef is known as Yosef HaTzadik. Why is Yosef called Yosef HaTzadik? Because of a number of reasons. The ultimate explanation Chassidus gives is as follows. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and the tribes basically were all people that didn't deal directly with the world. They were shepherds. What is a shepherd? A shepherd is you take your flock out into the field, they eat the grass, and you meantime can sit and study and learn and daven and all the things. You have nothing to do with the world. You're separated from the world. And in fact, the reason why they were separated from the world, the reason why they were shepherds, is because they did not want to have any influence whatsoever in the world. They had wanted to not to be influenced at all by world. So therefore, they left the world. What did they do? They took care of sheep. Yosef, on the other hand, was so unique that Yosef was able to be a leader in Egypt and still remain the tzaddik that he was. And that's why he was a much greater level. In many respects, Chassidus explains that Yosef was even greater than Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because he was able to be in the world and at the same time remain the tzaddik. And this explains, not, I mean, by the way, we're reading this parsha this week in Shul, Vayeshev, but in next week's parsha, Vayigash, which will take time until we get there, when Yosef finally notifies his father that he's alive, the pasuk says, Ki lahem in lahem. Yaakov didn't believe them. The brothers came back, and they told Yaakov, you know something? Abba, whatever they called him. Yosef's alive. It says in the Chumash, Yaakov didn't believe them. Then he says in the pasuk, they saw the wagons that Yosef sent. Then he believed them. Because he sees some wagons, the brothers could have picked it up at any Sears store. On the way back, they could have bought wagons. All of a sudden he sees wagons, he believes them. So Rashi quotes the Medrash. What does the Medrash say? That when Yaakov sent Yosef to get to see what's doing with the boys, and he ended up getting kidnapped and sold as a slave and ended up away for 22 years, the last laws Yaakov Avinu was learning with Yosef was Egla Arufa. The law, if you find a dead body outside of a city, you don't know who did it, you take an Egla, which is a calf, which is the same word, by the way, as Agola wagon. You take a calf, you chop off the head, you measure it to the closest city. The elders of the city can take a calf, you knock off the head, and they said, we didn't shed this blood, and so on. So the last halacha that Yaakov Avinu learned with Yosef was the law of Egla Arufa. Yosef, when he sent a message home to his father, he saw the Agolais, Egla. Yosef reminded his father, do you remember what we were learning 22 years ago when we separated? We were learning the din of Egla Arufa. So the pasuk says, when Yaakov saw that Yosef still remembered what they learned 22 years ago, even though now he was a king in Egypt, which was the superpower of the world, then Yaakov Avinu believed him. So what does it mean? Yaakov Avinu didn't believe Eid Yosef Chai, that my son, Yaakov said, my son Yosef is still alive like a Jew. It can't be. It can't be that he can be a Mitzrayim and still be a religious Jew. Why? Because Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov didn't have that level. They couldn't be in the world and remain untouched. One second. They couldn't remain untouched. Yosef was so great that he was able to be, but Yaakov first didn't believe him. When Yosef hinted to Yaakov, I still remember what we learned 22 years ago, that means I'm still a proper, firm Jew, I was unaffected by it. So then Yaakov Avinu believed it. So now the question is, before you ask your question, and it is Yutis Kislev, how are we in the world? How are we able to be in the world and to become unaffected? So the answer is, number one, a Jew doesn't go with their own powers. After Yosef broke through the ice, and Matan Torah broke through the ice, so now a Jew has the ability to be in the world and to become unaffected by the world. How? Very simple. If you are in the world, the Rebbe explains in a Sicha, if you're in an environment, if you're in an environment, we learned this in the past, one of two things must happen. Either world changes you, or you change the world. It's impossible to be in a situation where nothing happens. Then you're not in it. If you're involved in the world, then either world changes you or you change the world. So if a Jew goes on the offensive, that means the Jew's attitude is, I'm in the world because I'm going to change the world. Says the expression in Halacha, if you're busy spitting out, you can't absorb. Like when you kosher utensils, the pot spits out the treif, it doesn't go back in, because if it's busy spitting out, it can't. In simple English, when you talk, you can't hear. Because if you're spitting out, you can't absorb. Right? So a person who's so on the offensive, you know, he's running with the ball, so to speak, towards the goal line, so that's the best defense possible. So the reason why a Jew is able to be in the world today, because if a Jew, Taki, is going into the world, for world to change him, like to give you an example, if a kid goes to college campus to get involved in the college life, that's a disaster. Because there's no question that's what they're going to get, the social life of college, so for sure college is going to change them to the negative. If a person is on campus putting tefillin out with people and doing things, you know, on the event, then nothing's going to happen to him. And this is all, by the way, from the Koyach, that Yosef HaTzadik broke through the ice, that it's possible for a Jew to be in the world and at the same time be religious. Where did they get the strength from? From Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Even Yosef got the strength from Yaakov.
And maybe, especially from Yaakov, because Yaakov was in Lavan.
Lavan's house, and Yaakov dealt with an Esav. Yes. But as far as level-wise, only Yosef could be in a Mitzrayim situation and not be affected by it. And today, every Jew has to be in that situation. But it can only work if you're out there to change the world rather than allowing yourself to be changed by the world. That's all in Chassidus. That the wellsprings have to be spread out to the most outer places. Yeah.
Is there anything that the world can give us, or it's just only us changing the world?
The world can teach us what not to be.
I mean, it's all not to be.
The God forbid. The world is called, you know, the famous maimer Basi Lagani. It's a Basi Kanshir Hashirim. Basi Lagani, God said, I came to my garden. Which refers to Matan Torah, God came back to the garden. Now, a garden is a beautiful place. It's not a desert. It's not a field. A garden is where beautiful things grow. Hashem calls this world His garden. Okay? The world is fabulous. The world has an unbelievable amount of things that it could teach us. But if we're there that the world should teach us how to serve God better, then that's our impact on the world. I'll give you an example. When the Friedrich Rebbe came to America in 1940, he said, the last 10 years of his life he spent in America, he said, the air is very polluted. We have to purify the air. Okay? How do you say you have to purify the air? When you walk in the streets and you say words of Torah, so that's an air filtering system. You actually purify the air. And the Friedrich Rebbe took it even a step further. And he said, if you walk on a stone and you're not speaking Torah, eventually it will come a time that the stone will scream out, Evin Mikir Yazik, the Pasuk says, that the stone will call out of the wall, and the stone will scream at the Jew who walked on him without speaking Torah, and he's going to say, who do you think you are that you walked on me? If you spoke words of Torah, please do it. I don't mind that you step on me. But if you're an animal walking on me, who gives you the right to walk on me? You know, I should be walking on you. It says also in Ayem Yem, that we started new also Yutis Kislev, the Rebbe writes, that the Mittel Rebbe said, that a business person can see more divine providence than a person who sits and learns a whole day. Because you're dealing much more with the world, and there are a lot of lessons you can learn from world, from divine providence, that the world will teach you. But it depends why you're going out into the world. If you're going out into the world to be able to learn godliness, bring godliness, and learn godliness, then you will change the world. If you're going out into the world to become socialite and have a good time, so then you'll never learn from the world, and the world will only corrupt you.
Rabbi, I want to give you your due, and I think everybody here will agree with me.
I have 2 minutes.
Be quiet. You talked all night. Let me say something.
No.
You made a statement 4 minutes ago that we get our inspiration for Judaism from Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov.
Right.
I believe that you, Rabbi Shusterman, are responsible for a lot of the people that cross your path daily, Shabbat, or Jewish holidays, that get their feeling of Judaism from you, like I got from my parents. You're welcome. You deserve it.
Now, Amir Tashem, if I remember, when I get older, I'll put in my will that you should eulogize me at my funeral.
Rabbi,
but until then, I'm still alive. You don't
Rabbi,
have to eulogize me.
I already made a deal with Satan. You're going
okay.
to Gan Eden, I'm going
so
to...
So anyway... Okay.
Every Jew has to be in
Shul. Or is the Rebbe once told somebody, I mentioned this in Shul the other day, politicians used to come to the Rebbe, you know, for votes in New York. All the politicians went to all these Rebbes and everything. So there was one, I think it was Jarvis, one of these, the guys that came, started praising the Rebbe for all his accomplishments. So these are all politicians running for office, and they're praising the Rebbe. So the Rebbe stopped him in the middle. The Rebbe says, don't flatter me, I'm not running for office. Don't flatter me, I'm not running for office. It's not a bluff, you know, I'm not a politician. No.
He knows why they said
okay.
that.
Anyway, what did you want to ask before we...
I heard about Midrash, that Yaakov never believed that the death of Joseph, that's why Joseph, that's why he... It's like us, we will never believe that Jerusalem... will be destroyed. The same comparison.
No, what it says is Yaakov refused to be mourned.
To mourn.
No, he didn't stop mourning because on a dead person, God decreed after 12 months you forget about them.
Yeah.
But Yosef never died, so Yaakov never forgot about him, so he mourned for 22 years. That's the man.